back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Yes, we're doing plenty of post-draft Raven stuff and trying to get ready for this World Cup stuff. If you've heard any of our stuff this week with Kenny Cooper or Pete Carinch, you know we've been all over sports, but we mix it up around here. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is going to have some great wise conversations on Friday, presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I've got some scratch-offs, some Betty Boop to give away. We'll be at Conrad's on Friday in Perry Hall. It's also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill Industries and our newest sponsor at Window Nation. I've done some stuff on pharmacies and on drugs and, you know, those of you know, my wife is diabetic, and anybody that's followed my career over 31 years knows about my wife's bone marrow transplants, leukemia, all of that. We have become intimately familiar with the medical system, local hospitals, frequent flyer miles at Johns Hopkins at the hotel over there. We've done all of that. Today, we're going to talk about pharmacy. We're going to talk about drugs. We're going to talk about money and what it costs you as a consumer and some of the sort of baggage that goes along in the background that it doesn't necessarily add up to you see it when you pay, but you're wondering where all this stuff happens. And I'm always trying to understand big pharma. Today, I am lucky to have Aaliyah Horton on. She's the executive director of the Maryland Pharmacists Association, joined by Antonio Cha-Cha. I love the last name. There used to be a Jerry Cha-Cha that played hockey here for the Baltimore Clippers back in the 80s. Antonio Cha-Cha is the president of 3-Axis Advisor. He's out in Ohio. Aaliyah joins us here from Maryland today, the executive director. What is the Maryland Pharmacist Association, Aaliyah? Tell me about that.
Well, the Maryland, good morning. Hey. The Maryland Pharmacists Association is a professional society here in the state that represents pharmacists, student pharmacists, and pharmacy technicians. And our mission is to strengthen the profession, advocate for pharmacists, and promote excellence in pharmacy practice. And so we are very engaged in advocacy efforts in Annapolis to promote not only pharmacists in the profession, but also supporting pharmacies and their role in community healthcare.
All pharmacies, right? Not just big or small, all pharmacies in the state?
Correct. Correct. Yeah,
I think there's just a tremendous, Antonio, welcome in. How are you?
Great. Great to be with you.
Good to have you aboard. Tell everybody what 3-Axis Advisors and your role in this out in Ohio, because we're going to talk about pricing, right? We're going to talk about what my wife pays for her drugs that she needs to live every day of her life.
So I am a drug pricing nerd. I studied prices for a living. I do work for provider groups, research firms, Medicaid fraud control units, state attorney generals, state auditors, and employers who are ultimately paying the bill for the medications as well.
Well, it's good to have both of you here together today to tell me what's going on, because trying to understand this and cut through wherever it's the media that you follow. I always love insiders. And I think the internet has allowed you to figure out who your insider is. But I like people that do research and show me research. Antonio, I would say these are real numbers, right? These are not fudgeable numbers. Or, you know, when my wife is going to pay for this drug, her insurance company together, wherever pharmacy she goes to, there's a cost associated that might be different over there and different over there, and certainly different if you went north of the border or south of the border. For let's just call it what it is. My wife needs insulin to live every day of her life.
Yeah, so I mean, insulin is arguably one of the best poster children you could plug out of the system that exemplifies some of the dysfunction that exists in the drug pricing system in the United States. The United States, for better or worse, is unique amongst its international peers in that rather than the government coming in and just setting a price for a medication, which could have all sorts of, you know, good and bad ramifications for the United States marketplace, we leave it to private industry and insurance companies and pharmacy benefit managers or PBMs to ultimately work on our behalf as consumers to act as a negotiator. And so to give you an example of how significant pricing discrimination can be as fallout of this system designed in the United States, look at the drug Lantus. Lantus is one of the most popular insulin products in the marketplace. It's made by a drug maker called Sanofi. As of last year, the list price for a vial of Lantus was $285 per vial. However, if
see, I think about that in a different term, because I've been married 19 years to my wife, and I know how many vials of insulin she's gone through in 19 years and what it would look like if she didn't have one for a day or two. We went through that in Australia when she wasted hers. We had to go find a pharmacist in the middle of the night. So I'm aware of this, but and had to pay the real price because we weren't in country anymore, right?
Exactly. So you've got something that has a list price of $285 per vial. So anybody that has to buy that, if they're in a high deductible health plan or they're underinsured, that price is very real to them. But if you go back to the drug maker, Sanofi, who makes that product, if you tabulate all the rebates and discounts that they give away to insurance companies, government programs, and PBMs, they're only bringing in around $40 per vial. So not to say, hey, drug maker good, drug maker bad, but recognize this significant disconnect that exists between the list price for a medication and what the drug maker brings in. And all that fat in the middle is opportunity for various members of the drug supply chain to engage in arbitrage. So think of that as fat. And so if you're a patient, you're paying hundreds of dollars for something that the drug maker is really, when all rebates and discounts are tabulated, is only $40, you could argue you're getting ripped off.
Well, who's getting all this money? Lee, I want to bring you in as to how this affects Maryland and our state, maybe. And I know state to state laws are different. We all know that now, right? What's going on in Washington. But tell us how things work in Maryland.
Yeah, well, I did want to bring up, I didn't know we were going to be talking about diabetes medication, but actually the Maryland General Assembly just passed legislation this session that would cap insulin prices at $30 a month. For a 30-day supply. And so that is great news, but that's just one
category. Game changer for so many people.
It's a game changer, yes, but it's one category of medicine. And our pharmacists are at the front lines of engaging with patients every single day, and they see the challenges that patients are facing. But
well, the
also,
patient yells at the pharmacist for how much the drug costs, right? Literally.
Exactly. But one of the things that we've been working on, it's not it's impacting the pharmacies as well and the ability of pharmacies to practice and serve patients in the communities. These pharmacy benefit managers that Antonio mentioned, they're keeping that the extra, the fat that Antonio was talking about, they're keeping it. And so even when they're reimbursing pharmacists, when a pharmacist dispenses medication, they are dispensing it at below the cost of what they had to purchase it for. So imagine being forced as a business owner, as a healthcare provider, to have to serve your community, and you're required the reimbursement that you get, the payment that you get for your services, for the product that you're providing, is less than. So it's a negative every single time that they're dispensing a medication to a patient. And it's slowly putting out community pharmacies out of business, and it's impacting pharmacy hours, staffing. I'm sure when people go into the pharmacies, you see it looks a little frenzied in there. There may be less people working. The hours are getting cut short. All of this work, and I'm using air quotes for those that can't see me, that the PBMs are doing, it's negatively impacting the pharmacies, it's negatively impacting the patients' pocketbooks, and ultimately it's going to impact the healthcare that's provided and the ability for patients to stay adherent to their medications and so many other things. And Antonio knows all of the numbers, like he said, that he's the details person there, but it's impacting Maryland.
Well, Antonio Chacha's here. He is in Ohio. Aaliyah Horton, she's here in Maryland. She's the executive director of the Maryland Pharmacists Association. And we're talking about drug pricing and relief for people, not just with insulin and my wife's specific issue. Mm-hmm. My wife also takes thyroid medication. People, my wife also has beautiful insurance. I mean, she's a 30-year employee of the same company that's taking great care of her but not everybody has that benefit. Antonio, you come from this kind of honest, right? I mean, you're a pharmacy and a technician. You're in there seeing this, and you're probably one of the guys getting yelled at by $285. That's more than I made. You know, I could hear, and especially my mom was 98 years old, needing various drugs, inhalers, albuterol, different things that, mm-hmm. And I'm not a medical guy, and I name all these drugs like they're, you know, like they're flavors of beer. My wife and my mother needed drugs to survive. I'm lucky at this point at 53, knock on wood. But you have to know your pharmacist. You have to know what you're getting. You're going to the same people. Antonio, how does this affect the down-the-street pharmacist? I'm not talking about the big box shop, because we're all familiar with Walmart. They're all those big places. They have a whole different gig than what in my case here, there's Epic Pharmacies that I know around the area, local people. I'm a local AM radio station, so I know what it's to compete with the big guy. But on the pharmacy thing, this is involving the government, big drug companies. It's really tough to be my friends down in Northern Pharmacy right now.
Yeah, so from a pharmacy perspective, imagine how goofy this is. So most of your listeners are probably familiar with CVS Pharmacy, right? They're the largest pharmacy chain that most people are aware of. Well, CVS is a pharmacy, but CVS Pharmacy is part of a larger enterprise called CVS Health. And within that vertically integrated company, Fortune 15 company, is also a PBM called CVS Caremark. And so for those of you that don't know what a PBM is, they decide which medications are covered and which ones aren't. They decide what your copay will be, what it won't be. They decide which pharmacy you can use and which one you can't use. And so to bring it back, what I just said, CVS
now, all pharmacy, three of those things have played a major factor in my life and more in my life as a voyeur. My wife was battling leukemia. She spent 155 nights on the fifth floor over at Hopkins fighting for her life. And she had great insurance. People in the hall didn't. And I told this story the last time I did a pharmacy chat, and maybe you're familiar with this tale or not, but I want my audience to be familiar. There was a lady in the next room. We believe she died eventually. She had three beautiful children, and she was nauseous, and my wife had these patches that my wife was getting for 10 bucks or whatever, but they were like $300 patches, and the lady next door didn't have insurance. Pharmacy wasn't there. My wife gave her a patch, like literally, because – it blew my mind that this woman needed something to stay alive, to stay comfortable. And she's in the cancer ward at Hopkins on the fifth floor, trapped, and she can't get what she needed. It busts me up to tell this story 8 years later.
It's a really difficult and complicated system. And oftentimes patients or the employers that have to pay for the benefits are kind of left high and dry. When you have a company like CVS Health that owns the pharmacy but also owns a PBM, back to your question about what happens to the local pharmacies, recognize that PBMs are in charge of setting the rates of reimbursement for all the pharmacies in the marketplace. That includes the local pharmacy, the independent down the road, but it also is CVS pharmacies as well. So think about how goofy this is. This would be like DiGiorno setting reimbursement rates for Pizza Hut and Domino's and the local pizza shop as well. CVS as an enterprise gets to arbitrarily set the rates of reimbursement to all pharmacies in the marketplace, including the ones they own and including the ones that their own pharmacies compete with. So smaller pharmacies have a really hard go in this marketplace because they're essentially being price controlled by their competitors.
That's kind of an amazing thing. Aaliyah, how long has this been going on in the state of Maryland in this way?
Well over 20 years. This has been going on for a really long time, and it's just gotten progressively worse, especially as Antonio mentioned with the vertical integration. So not only, and then you can add insurance companies as well, with CVS now owning an insurance company. And so I started in 2015 with the Maryland Pharmacists Association. And I think the second week I was there, it blew up again with PBMs knocking independent pharmacies out of networks. Like Antonio was saying, in terms of the competition, they have the ability to say where a patient can go, where they can get their medications. And they can say, you know, you're not in the network. You have to provide services at this low rate. And it definitely impacts our pharmacies. And we've been working, and the independent pharmacies that I work with, many of them are Epic Pharmacies, as you mentioned, yeah, they've been fighting this battle for 20 years, and the PBMs continue to get stronger. And that is the real challenge. But we've been fighting, and our association and many others around the country have been working with Antonio and others to push back on PBMs with regulations and statutes and general assemblies around the country.
Well, I don't think there's anything more caustic than public health, you know, for all of us in regards, especially on the back end of COVID, as to just who's going to cover my COVID test and, you know, whether I can move about freely at this point. The last 2 years have certainly shine the light on everyone for the need for medicine and for staying healthy. Antonio Chacha is here. He's the president of Three Axis Advisors. Aaliyah Horton joining us as well, the executive director of the Maryland Pharmacists Association. So I'll put this to both of you. So what have we learned here? Annapolis, important. Lobbying, important. What happens in your state? What happens in the country? But this is big money, and we think big pharma as like the actual drug companies, but there's a whole other side to big pharma for the people who actually distribute this drug to you and where you go and pick it up, right, Antonio?
I mean, understand that drug pricing is far more complicated than, you know, one's particular layer. You have drug makers that sell drugs to wholesalers, they sell to pharmacies, and then you have PBMs and insurers that are on the other end of also making money off the prescription, but then also acting on our behalf as consumers and employers. So recognize that when you approach the pharmacy counter, and I learned this the hard way years ago, it's that, you know, it's easy to look at your local pharmacist and say, hey, you know, fix this, right? When in fact, we're talking about a multi-layered system, including pharmacy, that has responsibility in ultimately determining what the end cost is that we as consumers pay. So one of the things that I've learned in my time is that transparency and scrutiny is incredibly important, especially since a lot of the money that goes to pay for prescriptions is coming from public dollars that we all pay for as taxpayers. I got my start researching drug pricing in Ohio because pharmacists in my state were complaining about big underpayments, but at the same time, the state was paying more and more for drugs within the Medicaid program. Come to find out that middlemen in the drug supply chain, PBMs, were taking $244 million in a hidden tactic called spread pricing, where they pay a pharmacy one rate, but then they bill a plan sponsor, an employer, or a government agency, in this instance, something completely different, and don't disclose.
In my industry, that'd be called fraud.
Well, and I think many state attorney generals would agree with you. Now, recognize PBMs aren't the only entities that can engage in that kind of arbitrage, but I think it's indicative of the necessary scrutiny that the drug supply chain needs holistically, that anybody can make money off the sleight of hand because we as consumers don't know what a fair price for a medication is. And so that transparency and accountability are paramount to make sure that no members of that supply chain are ripping us off.
Aaliyah, any advice for people? Like, you know, my wife gets some of her drugs mailed to her from a place like in Nevada. It's been 20 years. She got best pricing. It shows up. She stocks her insulin. She gets what she gets. But on a local level, she gets other medications here locally. In picking a pharmacy, or I'm a small independent AM radio station, right? So like I love to say we compete with the iHearts. We compete with check mine. Mine's better. My local's always better. It's especially when you're talking about your medications to have someone across the counter. And my mother needed this at the end of her life tremendously. You need an advocate. You need somebody there that can help you out. And that is the difference between local. That's what's wrong with our country. Not to go large picture here, Aaliyah, but yeah. but there is something about local.
I think in talking to the independent pharmacists in Maryland in particular, what they will say is that we can compete. We have the customer service. We can provide the delivery services. We have those connections. We can do what we call medication therapy management, working with the patients on medication adherence, keeping people out of the hospital, all of these things. But they can compete on the merits of their work and their ability to engage in the patient and improve health outcomes. But where they can't compete is when they are being forced to work at a deficit. You can't keep employees. You can't keep engagement. You can't expand your services. Services that you know will serve your community better.
You can't keep customers because you can't keep your customers happy, right?
Right. And you literally, we have pharmacy owners now that because of these underpayments, they've had to let some of their pharmacists go. They've had to let staff go. So they're running their business. They're serving as the pharmacist. And so they don't have, it's very intense. I'll just say that. And so the ability to expand and provide more services is very challenging. But I do encourage the patients that have these great relationships in the independent pharmacies, and I'll say even in the chains, it's a different model in how they work, but the pharmacists are doing the best work that they can. And if a patient really feels strongly about the relationships that they have, they've got to talk to their employers, because their employers are making the decisions to work with the pharmacy benefit managers and their insurance companies, they've got to reach out to their insurance companies and express their challenges. I really think that the patient is the one they're going to listen to, because oftentimes when a industry is trying to fight another industry, there's always a coming of heads and people take it with a grain of salt. But when you have the patients who are impacted using their voices, I think that would be really impactful. And to work with those folks that you have the relationships with to do that. And get to know your legislators in Annapolis. They want to hear from constituents.
Well, I tell you what, as somebody that went to work for Elijah Cummings for a long time, you know the power of what that's all about. Yeah. I love the conversation. I learned a lot. I appreciate both of you. Leah Horton here, Executive Director of the Maryland Pharmacists Association, joined by Antonio Cha-Cha. I like dislike saying that. I'll have you back on the show as much as you want so we can do the Cha-Cha. President of three Access Advisors out there in Ohio, and also a pharmacy technician, talking about some important stuff here that probably affects, I don't know, in every household how many people need a pharmacy in any given week or year, but it's most of us, right, Antonio?
Absolutely.
No question.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for coming on, educating our folks about pharmacy benefit managers and, you know, maybe hurting patients out there and some stuff we could do down in Annapolis to help out. Thanks for coming on, both of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate our friends at KO for providing some wise conversations around here, as we like to say. I'm going to have Rob Santoni, our wise guy around here, just ran the Boston Marathon. We're going to be joined over Comrades Crabs on Friday for a couple hours conversation. A crab cake, no doubt about that. Maybe even a beverage, as I'm taking 31 crab cakes in 31 days out on the road. All presented by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Goodwill, and our friends at Window Nation, our newest sponsor. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Doing draft, doing Preakness, doing Adley Rutschman watch, doing a little bit of politics and watching your pockets as well. We are BaltimorePositive.com.